So what do we think this has to do with students and teachers, especially here at Greenfield Community College? So what strikes me in this research is the fact that they explicitly say that AI gives us an adequate, for most purposes, writing that is reasonably well done and it's done quickly. But if we adopt the stance, if we all adopt the stance, that becoming educated is hard work and just answering questions is not enough, then I think we're getting closer to what we need in our students. You know, even if we score well in a class without using AI, there's a good chance that that learning won't have the effects that it was supposed to have. And I think that the takeaway is that these essays, the brainwaves, the grades we get on the artifacts, you know, all of that stuff, it's kind of ancillary to the learning. I think it's ancillary. And I think the biggest takeaway that we can take from this article is that sense of ownership. You know, and if our students leave our classes without a sense of ownership in the material, no matter how it was done, then we haven't done our job and they haven't done their jobs. So I think what it all comes down to is students learning and what's going on in their brains and not necessarily what's on their papers.
You know, experience teaches us that lazy muscles and lazy brains atrophy when not used. To me, that's the biggest takeaway from the study. You know, at home, my hand weights will not build muscle sitting on the floor, and how I wish they did. LLMs will not build critical thinking by a user simply entering a prompt and capturing the result. For LLMs to build brain power, they need to work with the individual, similar to my exercising with weights. Engaging with LLM's output is important for developing critical thinking. There are many ways to do this, but I've discovered that applying something called vertical and horizontal analysis complements the LLM as a co-thinking partner. For example, in horizontal analysis, comparing AI outputs across multiple AI models and using vertical analysis to examine the structure and assumptions of the output and its coherence engages the user as a partner. Now, in my case, most of my use with LLMs is as a tutor. I highly recommend that use of an LLM as a tutor and to use it in role-playing to help move your thinking along.
It sounds to me, Jeff, like what you're talking about is using the LLMs and the content that's generated with it from an LLM more as a source of information. So that becomes something that we interact with and we have dialogue with. But while we're building our own, we're writing our own essays, so to speak, when you do that, that information is then becomes a source of what we're thinking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know that this study is a lot to process for a lot of people. It's long, it can be very intimidating, and if you are hesitant towards AI and have feelings about AI in the classroom, then it does seem to confirm a lot of those thoughts. But I think the things that you have both already mentioned, using AI as a tool and making sure that students feel confident to take ownership of what they have created in class, is really important. I think a lot of this comes back towards students' confidence in what they have learned and what they are presenting to faculty and to their peers as, you know, sources of something they've created themselves. And I think that's really important to encourage students to be able to take risks and kind of make these mistakes, and then hopefully they don't feel the need to use an LLM to generate content because they'll feel comfortable doing it themselves.
So it sounds like we're talking about creating a classroom culture where it's not just about getting the right answer.
Yes, yeah. I think so. That's part of the learning process, right?
Absolutely it is. And I think that's one of the things that we, you know, personally, I think we need to think about as a culture, you know. And I've been hearing about, you know, I've been working in education for a long time, and, you know, for the last couple of decades, all we think about is data and think about the proxies of our students' learning and their outcomes. But, you know, there's an an awful lot that's much more important than that. And, you know, I think that some students come into our classrooms thinking what really matters is, and it does for them. I mean, they want to get the grade, they want to get out and do the work, but it's becoming an educated person. And there's certain things that educated people do. And one of those things that we do is we don't just rely on AI to create our answers.
Which is why I've been doing research on applying Aristotle's virtue ethics to AI. And I've prepared some stuff that maybe Gary will share. But to me, if you want to be virtuous, you've got to work hard at what you're doing and not just simply say it's somebody else's work or just ignore the hard work. You're letting down your community, you're letting down your fellow students, and you're letting down yourself.
It's more process focused than results.
And with that said, it is important to notice that the script that we use for writing this was derived in part from some AI. Basically, I took some of my thoughts and so forth, and some of my summaries of the MIT article, and I took that work and I had I used Copilot or Gemini. I use these things frequently. But I had that create the script for what was going on. So, you know, this work was, it was derived in part from AI, but in part from my analysis of the article. So anyways, so I'm being virtuous now. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on the next episode of the podcast.